Well, good morning, everybody. And as always, even David says, what a joy it is to be in God's house and be with friends and family members and fellowship and love and grow and learn about His Word. If you have your Bibles with you today, would you please turn with me to the book, to the Psalms, the book of Psalms, chapter 139. And the title of the message I want to share with you today is, Does God Have Your Heart? And we before I get going, I want to emphasize that this, everybody thinks heart is your emotions, your soul, your spirit. But a lot of times, if you look it up, the word heart means your mind. It's how you think. It's how you feel things. It's how you see things. And what I want to show today, and I'm going to go through some things, and I'm kind of building towards the end. There's a thing I want to bring up that I have a big finish for. And what I want to show is that God wants your heart, mind, soul. He needs you. He wants you. And as we're going to see, there are times when people have prayed, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Because God will. He will take His Spirit from you if you neglect Him. If you turn from Him. We all know the stories of the Israelites in the Old Testament. When God was on their side, when they were serving Him, they never lost in battle. Never. And then when they forsake Him and they started to slide away, He left them and they got slaughtered. And that can happen to a church. It can happen to an individual. It can happen in your daily walk. And what I want to read and study today and ask, and this is one of those things where I want us all to look a little inward. And hopefully it's a motivational thing. And I hope this is a message of encouragement to stay the course. And it is, does God have your heart? Psalm 139, I want to start in verse 19. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? Now that's a question. And I am not grieved with those that rise up against thee. I hate them with perfect hatred. So it's not a sin to hate. What I want to show you today and share with you is that if God has your heart, you will love the things that He loves and you will hate the things that He hates. You will love the people that He loves and you will hate the people that He hates. Verse 22, I grieve that those that rise up against thee. Question, I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Okay, search me, O God, and know my heart, soul, mind, and spirit. Try me. Everybody wants smooth sailing. Be a Christian. You'll never have a flat tire. You'll be rich. You'll be wealthy. You'll get a new home. You'll drive a Cadillac Escalade. You'll get to join the local country club. You'll have everything you've ever wanted. The prosperity nonsense that they teach. Now, there's nothing wrong with having. Abraham was a very wealthy man. There's nothing. But you have to remember, how did you attain your wealth? Were you blessed of God, or did you cheat people to get where you are? And what will happen to you if you discern yourself and you become part of this world and you act worldly for personal gain? It says, search me and try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. I just thought of this. There was a man I heard on bot radio who lost his job because he's a Christian man, and they ganged up on him and they set up a business meeting with clients at a strip club. And he said, no, I'm not. Listen, you work for us. And they set him up. They tried him. This is his income. This is his livelihood. He said, I'm not going to a strip club. I'm a Christian man. I'm not doing this. I will take him to a restaurant. They said, okay, if you don't go, you're fired. And in less than a half hour, he packed up and he cleaned his desk out and he left. God bless that man. Now, will God take care of him? Of course he will. When you have a decision to make and you ask God to try you and you pass the test, he will bless you. It's not easy. This is not an easy, this is a narrow road. Few will find it. You're going to give up over a flat tire? You're going to give up when someone accidentally bumps into your car? This is material stuff. Everything you have is temporary. Everything you own is temporary. What do we want to hear when we stand before the person who died on that cross for my sins? Well done, good and faithful servant. What's a servant? Servant is another name of submission. Well, I ain't going to let some Bible tell me how to live my life. I ain't going to let some church tell me what's right or wrong. I ain't going to let some people, you and your self-righteous and all this stuff, you ain't telling me how to live. No, I'm not. There's no force in love. God will never, he's never forced himself on you. People ask God, try me. We all know that, have you considered my servant Job? When Satan said, what happened? Well, I can't. You're protecting him. Take the hedge down. How strong is your hedge today? How much time do you spend in this? How much do you think about it? I'm not talking about going to playing church every 2 hours on Sunday, Monday through Saturday. How much do you dwell on God's Word? How much is it in your thought, mind, heart, soul, body, and spirit? That's what he's after. That's what he wants. And God has enemies. And we hate his enemies because of who they are. And if you understand who they are, you will understand that they are not convertible. They're hard tops. Okay, you can't. Don't waste your time with them. Okay, if you will, turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 78. And I want to start in verse 1. This is my most important job that I've had in my lifetime. Psalm 78, verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable and will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us, and our fathers have told us, and our fathers have told us. What is today? We're celebrating Father's Day. Fathers, dads, listen. Here's your most important job. Okay? I don't care about your house, your car, your money. I don't care if your golf clubs are 20 years old. This is your most important job. We have not hid them from their children, showing to the generation to come, the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. He's not off. He's still working. What he did, he can still do it. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commandeth our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them unto their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God, but refused to walk in his law. All I want to say is it's my job to teach Laura and David. It's their job whether they stay. That's the best I can do. That's the best we can do as fathers. Most of all the children that I've been in this for almost 40 years, I've known families who had children who this is all they've ever known. They were raised in a covenant church. Most of them have left with their parents, with their fathers, because now they serve another God. Some of them were dragged out by their wives. I got the greatest wife in the city of Fort Wayne. I really do. You have to keep the laws of God. How do you do that? You have to know them. You have to know who they were given to. You have to teach your children. They were not given to the world. Moses did not give them to Moses and say, teach to the children of Israel. Oh, and by the way, make a copy of it and give it to the Philistines and the Egyptians and the Amorites. He never said that. Well, Brian, duh, John 3, for God so loved the world. Well, then why didn't he give the world the Ten Commandments? Why didn't he give the world the Ten Commandments? He didn't. Preachers do. God didn't. Moses didn't. When he came down from the mountain, half of them were killed. How long was it? 40 days. Golden calf. 40. 6-7 weeks. And they're gone already. That's all? How about when your kids are in the 6th, 7th grade? We're going to read that. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 7. And I want to apologize in advance because this is, I'm going to read the whole chapter. I'm going to try not to talk too much. But this is a danger. When I read this, this is for men. Now, the top of my Bible says, avoid wicked women. So this is for women and men. I want you to identify what's a wicked woman and what is a good and wicked man. Chapter 7, verse 1. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. This is the heart, that's the mind. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the tablet of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from strange women, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and behold, among the simple ones I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. He is an easy target. This world has captured our kids because kids are easy targets. They're influential. They don't go to school to learn. They go to school to be programmed. Verse 8, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and the subtile of heart. He must have gone to a modern-day beach, because women today dress like harlots. It's very simple, young ladies. Do you want the world to see your flesh or your spirit? Why does it say that women adorn in modest apparel? Because God made men the way we are. We need help. We really do. Verse 11, she is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. She's working her corner. So she sought, caught him, and kissed him, and with impudent face, and said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently, to seek thy face, and have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, the carved works with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with love. I wonder what she charges for all night. For the good man is not at home. Her good man is not at home. I'm guessing either she's married or she's got a boyfriend, but he ain't home. He has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she causes him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox going to the slaughter. Evil women will slaughter our young boys if they don't have discernment to stay away from the women who dress and act like harlots. A few years ago when I was working, and this is one of those things I'll always remember, all the old married men told the young unmarried man, if you enjoy sexual relations with a woman, whatever you do, don't get married. Go out and have your fun. And they said, really? He said, yeah, it's not like it was in my day. And then when I heard that, I said, why? Because women have lowered themselves to act like a man. It's something they're proud of. Well, I go to the clubs, I bring an overnight bag just in case I get lucky. And they're on the prowl. Okay, what are you doing in these nightclubs to begin with? Amen. With her fair speech, she causes him to you. He go, okay, as ox to the slaughter, or as a fool to the, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hastened to the snare, and knoweth not what it is for life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she has cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. That's something that our young men are struggling with. And I understand it. I understand it. Look at pictures in the 60s of women who went to the beach and the kind of bathing suits they wore. Look at the way girls who went to school, how they used to dress. And look at the way they dress now. And this is what our young men are falling for. Because why? Because they're young men. Well, they're not Christian men. I'm sorry. Look, everybody makes mistakes. Everybody falls. I understand that. And if any man who's heard this has fallen this way, God's here to help you. You have to repent and walk away from this lifestyle, or it'll snag you. Our next reading is going to bring a smile to my face. Turn to Psalms 86. This is spiritual. This was part of our opening. This makes me smile. Psalms 86, beginning in verse 11. Is this you? Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, soul, mind, body, and soul. And I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell or the grave. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul. We have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, gracious, long-suffering, plenteous of truth, mercy and truth. O turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength to thy servant and save the son of thy handmaid. Show me a token for good that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast holpened me and comforted me. Now, that word holpen is number 5826. It means to protect, surround, aid, and help. So he's there to help you if you'll go to him. He's there to help you, to protect you from the peoples of this world. Looking back at those things with children and stuff like that, the question has to be asked, why would a child, a son or girl who's a Christian, why would you even date a non-Christian? Why would you be with, now granted, you can't choose your co-workers, but you choose your friends. You choose who you date. You choose who you want to fall in love with. You choose the kind of people that you want to someday maybe become one. Because still in the Bible, two become one. See, it started one became two. See, Adam, and then Adam became two when he formed Eve. Now, two become one. Well, nobody can serve two masters. You can't live in the world, and you can't live in the Bible. Because I got really, really, really bad news for you. There's too many young people, and there's too many people who want one foot in church and one foot in the world. It means they sit on the fence. Okay, here's that saying that if you take away anything today, this is it. The fence belongs to Satan. God hates the fence. That's lukewarm. It's comfort. Oh, I got my Christian friends on Sunday, and then I party on Saturday night or Friday night. And, well, I don't want to offend my friends. I might lose them. I don't want to offend. I can't say that to my boyfriend, girlfriend. They might break up with me. I can't do this. Well, I don't know what to do. I'm this. I'm that. Okay. You're on the fence. You're lukewarm. Okay. Satan loves the fence. It's Satan's fence. It's not God's fence. He hates the fence. He will not tolerate second place in your life. He can't. It's who he is. And if you want to have a good heart, good soul, heart, mind, and soul, do you have to want to seek? You have to love the things that he loves, and you have to hate the things that he hates. But that's what hope means. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 11. And beginning in verse 16, this is an abomination to God. Verse 16, a gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men their riches. How does a woman retain honor? By not acting like a harlot. How does a man retain riches? You don't spend money on harlots. The merciful man doth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. I'm going to say something at the very last reading about the heart and the soul and the flesh. So this is a warning, or I'm going to try and put it together. 18, the wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. As righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. They that are a froward heart are an abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are his delight. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snot, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. You want to waller in the mud of this world? You're going to look like a swine with lipstick on. That's how he describes it. And a froward heart, that means that's full of false, crooked, perverse, and is distorted. Because you don't know God's way, he doesn't have your heart. The world has your heart. And this is what that he calls it, an abomination. Turn with me now to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17. This is a hard one. In verse 5, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. remember heart and flesh. For he shall be like the heart heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, because to him it's evil. See, if you don't know right and wrong or wrong from right, God brings you something good, you see it as evil, because you don't know his heart, you don't know his mind. But shall inhabit it the parched places in the wilderness, in the salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, which is, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought or restraint, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked, and who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, and according to the fruit of his doing. As a partridge sitteth on eggs and hatches them not, so he that getteth riches, and not by right, shall leave them in the midst of the days, and at his end shall be a fool. A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Okay, if you plant if your tree is in and being watered and stuff, it produces shade. When bad times come, you're in the shade. If you're out here in the desert, you have no roots, no water, no fruit, you'll wither up and die. That's what the analogy that I see. Because he will bless you with living. I think that's the word of God. And by their fruits you shall know them. So do you want a dead tree in the desert, or you want a live tree with big branches that produce shade, and you have water that comes from under the roots and feed the tree and feed the branches? That's your life. Are you in the desert? Are you dead to God and living alone and cry yourself to sleep, and you walk around and you're unfulfilled, you're sad all the time, you're lonely all the time, you have nothing? Or do you want to be over here with living waters in God's word and be grown and have a full life and have shade? It's up to you. Okay, let's turn now to the book of James, chapter 4. This is critical. James chapter 4, I'm going to read verse 7 and 8. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Submit, submit. That well done, good and faithful person who submitted. That's a servant. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Well, I don't know. I don't know if it's right or wrong. You know, all my friends tell me it's not that bad. I know what the Bible says, but these friends, I don't know what's right. I don't know. Okay, a reprobate mind is a mind void of judgment. You don't know right from wrong. You don't know wrong from right. But it says in 8, draw nigh to God. What happens first? Does he come to you, or you have to go to him? When you draw nigh to God, what does that mean? Do you spend time in his word? Do you spend time in his church? Do you spend time with his people? Do you spend time with Christian people? Do you spend time watching stuff and going and doing and talking and walking things that draw you to God? Or are you going to let this world draw you away from God, and then your mind will be full of this world and God can't find you? Because if you submit, Satan will leave. Why? He wants an easy target. He's like a thief. I'm not going to rob a house if all the lights are on. I want a dark house. It's easier. Okay, do you live in darkness? Do you live in light? If you have lights on in your house, it's protected. Okay, I am the light of the world. If you have your mind, heart, so full of the word of God and you got lights on, he will protect you. That's what he did with Job. Well, I can't touch him, God. So I'm going to go find someone else. What are you doing? I'm walking to and fro, looking for an easy target. I want an easy house to rob, not one full of the light. And if you get that light in you, you know, the truth, God will wash away your sins. Go to drop down to verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Okay, I've always said that for me, God's mercy is he knows what you don't know. And he understands that you're flesh. He understands you're a baby in Christ. He understands babies do baby things. But as you mature and grow, when God gives you, the more knowledge he gives you, and the closer you get to him, the more you understand him, it makes your life better. The heartache comes from losing friends, family members, co-workers. That's hard. It's real. Loneliness is real. The narrow road is real. It's not popular. And I told Lauren David growing up, if you decide to stay in this, okay, number one, you're not going to be popular. You're not going to be well-liked. And sadly, the people that are going to hate you the most are church-going people. Because they don't love truth. And the Bible tells us, if you don't love truth, God will give you a lie and hand you over to a reprobate mind. And you're all over the place. Okay, if you will now turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 7, to give you an example. Mark chapter 7, verse 18. And he saith unto them, ye are so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever things come from without entereth into the man, and it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not unto his heart, but unto his belly, and goeth out unto the drought, purging all meats. And he said, that which cometh out of a man, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth a man. For from within, out of the heart of man proceedeth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murderers. Now Jesus said, if you hate your brother without cause, you're a murderer. This isn't just killing people, you know. Thieves, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemers, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man. What he's saying, I think, it's not what goes in you. Everybody thinks it's about not eating pork. I think it is in a little bit of a way. But the problem is, it's not that eating pork that defiles you, which you say, well, I don't think it's the what comes out of your mouth is words. Well, yeah, back in the old, they didn't have refrigerators, but it's okay now. Christ died so I can have a ham and cheese sandwich. It's okay to eat pork now. No, it's never, it can't be, because it's an unclean animal. If God died and made a pork clean, why does it have the characteristics of an unclean animal? It has the same characteristics. It doesn't chew to cut. It has a cloak. It doesn't have it. If Jesus made it clean, they should have changed. But their personality, their nature is still an unclean animal. Okay, it's not that eating it. It says, I don't care. I'm going to eat what I want. I was raised in the South, and we eat pork chops. Okay, it's that. Now, you didn't know. I ate pork growing up. On our first date, we went to Red Lobster. Our second date, we went to Nick's Rib Room. Our third date, we went to Pizza Hut and had a sausage pizza. Okay, we haven't eaten pork in 40 years. Okay, we didn't know. Nobody showed it to us. Nobody showed it to us. So now what comes out of our mouth? I'm not eating that no more. Why? Because God said I shouldn't eat it because it'll help me to stay healthy. Well, I don't care. I'm going to eat it anyway. Okay, that's what comes out of your mouth. That's what defies you. Okay, pick another thing. Well, God loves everybody. No, he doesn't. Jesus died for everybody. No, he didn't. Everybody can be saved. No, we all came from Adam and Eve. No. You see, the words that come out of your mouth is what you know. It's the doctrine you talk about. And that will damn your soul. God hates blasphemy. He hates liars. Woe be to the pastors who destroy and scatter the sheep. of my pasture. Who are the only people in the Bible ever called sheep? Everybody? No. Okay, turn with me now to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. And I just want to read verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligently seek him. Why? Because I want to know what you know. I want to like what you like. I want to hate what you hate. One of the reasons me and Susan fell in love so quickly is we both dislike the same things. I'm not being biblical. I don't like loud music. I don't like nightclubs. I don't like this. I like just the two of us going out to eat and walking, holding hands. You know, we like the same kind of music. You know, now everybody has opinions on things. Just like, for instance, in my opinion, by far, the greatest female singer in the history of music is Karen Carpenter. Now, you can be wrong and pick someone else. I'm okay with that. I said this back then when she passed away. I still miss her tremendously. But in my silly mind, when she died and went to heaven, the angel said, hey, our lead singer's here. It's who she is. She was an angel. There's been a few others. She's my all-time favorite. I miss her. But you understand that you have to have faith to please him. Why? Because it tells him you trust him. Trust, trust, trust. Before I retired, I worked around thousands of women. It didn't bother Susan one bit. She trusted me. I trusted her. God wants the same thing, okay? That's how you please him, by faith. That's how he loves it when we trust him. He'll reward you because we're his children. Okay, if you will, turn with me to the book of Galatians, chapter 1, and start in verse 6. Paul is talking. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Here's the trial. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you that which you have preached, that we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Who knows who the angel Moroni is? What church did he start? Okay? Mormons. This angel that his name was Moroni. Am I right? I think I probably remember. Okay. This is an angel, and he started an ungodly church. And they warned you, if an angel comes. So verse 9, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Woe to the pastors who destroy my sheep, my people. For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Who you want to please? Do you seek to please God or men? Who do you want to be more populous? Well, if I break up with this person, this boyfriend, girlfriend, I might lose them. Well, you want to lose your boy or you want to lose God? I don't mean to get too personal. Our son David had a friend, and at his mom was a single mom. And when they got to driving, they went to his house, and he wanted to watch porn. David ended the friendship. Nope, I'm not watching this crap. And he quit. And he is not friends with this kid. He ended the friendship because I'm not watching that junk. So he was tried. Now, we've all been young men. I understand, you know, what we all go through. Okay, I want to remind you, that's the flesh. And I want to get to that. But which walk are you going to walk? Can a man take away your faith? Can a man preach another gospel and take away your faith? Turn to the book of Romans, chapter 8, and I'm going to start in verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, and walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemneth sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Here's some more clues about Spirit and flesh. I'm going to get that in my last reading. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnal minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity with God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Remember this. If you're in the flesh, you can't please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of this. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus did not raise Himself, but the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. What a promise. What a promise. The same Spirit, the same thing that raised Christ from the dead will raise us. It's the same thing. It's the exact same thing. It's Spirit versus flesh. And that's what we struggle with. And even the Bible says God remembers that we are flesh. We are in a fallen state. And He knows how weak our flesh can be. And we're all guilty of this. Pick your poison. We all struggle with things. Why? Because we're stuck in this flesh. So many Christian men, why do I still do the things that I know are wrong? Why can't I get over this sin? Why can't I get over this addiction? Why can't I get over this thing, this lust of my eyes, my hands, my acts, my word? Why? There's a reason. I'm going to get to it. Okay, let's now turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33. I want to touch on this just a little bit. This is for the don't judge crowd. And they're out there. They love to tell us we're not supposed to judge. Ezekiel chapter 33, starting in verse 11. Or 7, I'm sorry, 7. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word of my mouth and warn them from me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way. That wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. So how do you not judge someone if you see someone who's doing wickedness and you go up and say, you know, you shouldn't be cheating on your wife. Man, you got a good woman at home. What are you doing out here in the bars partying and picking up women for one night stand? Hey, who are you to judge me? I'm not judging you. Or pick another topic. Well, who are you to judge, man? You shouldn't be stealing stuff. You know, you shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do. Well, who are you to judge me? Okay, we can't convert them if they don't have God's heart and spirit, but we're supposed to try and say something to them. Verse 9, nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, and if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, in our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them. how should we then live? Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye, turn ye, turn ye, please, I'm begging you, I'm pleading with you, from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? Why don't you trust me? I know what's good for you. I know what will make your life happy. The world says this will make you happy. The world told women for the last three, I don't need a man. I'm a strong, independent woman. I don't want a man. I don't need this. I don't need nothing. And now they're crying their eyes out because they're 35, home alone with cats. And that's all they got to look forward to. You've all known this. In 2030, what is it, 45, 50% of all women will be single, unmarried, and no children. And that's exactly what the feminazis told you that you should have to have a good life. See, they took away feminism and replaced it with feminist. They took away a girl. I heard a guy on the radio who took his daughter to high school graduation. This was a Christian school at a Christian graduation. And on the way home, his daughter was crying. And the dad, what's the matter? Nothing. Come on, honey, what's wrong? I know something's bothering you. Please, what's the matter? Well, I probably shouldn't tell you this, but you wouldn't believe what people told me. What? Oh, some of the women, they said, what do you want to be when you, now that you graduated, what do you want to do with your life? What do you want to be? Oh, I want to be a wife and a mother. That's all. What about your career? What about your goals? Why don't you make your money? Church women made her cry because she wanted to be a wife and a mother and love her husband and love her children and be a stay-at-home mom. And these women at this church made her cry because that's what she wanted. Now, that's sad. That's very sad. So he's asking you, why will you die? I set before you life and death. Choose life. Turn with me to the book of John chapter 3. Okay, this is what I want to get to. And we all know this story, but I'm going to put a little twist on it. Nicodemus is talking to Jesus. Well, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, I think it's Judean, and came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher from God, and no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, or born anew, or born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Question. He's confused. What are you talking about? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you that you must be born again, or anew, or from above. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence thou comest, or whither it goeth. So to every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? What are you talking about? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? You don't even know what I just said. Did he have God's heart? Did he have God's mind? This is my take on it, and you might agree with me, you might not. What we've been reading is about the Spirit and the flesh. The flesh and the Spirit. Born again, new again. We all have a zeal, a desire. When you were born again, and it's not a bad thing, or you were born anew and born from above. Okay, God did not save your flesh. The flesh will die. My struggle is my flesh. If your spirit and heart is of God, this is my problem. Okay, God didn't save your flesh. That comes at the resurrection. Your flesh is dead. Your flesh is worthless. He didn't save your flesh. He saved your heart, soul, mind. What did Jesus say? What would it gain? What would it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? Not his flesh. This flesh is going to die. I didn't look like this 40 years ago. If any young men are seeing or hearing this, as I am, someday you shall be. That 170, that's a 6-iron. It used to be a 7-iron. But I'm older. I don't hit it as far as I used to. But I adapted. I can't stop. Okay, but do you see what I'm saying? Yes, I understand. But our struggle is our flesh. And God knows that. He remembers that we are fallen flesh. If there's no condemnation in those who are born anew. What is it that's in you that makes you feel bad when you sin? It's conviction. I think that's the unpardonable sin. When you don't care no more. Yeah, I. Why do I keep sinning? Why can't I stop sinning? Because when I gave my life to Christ, 40-some, the real one, He saved my heart, He saved my soul, He's feeding my spirit. But He didn't save my flesh. That comes later. That's our struggle. But we can overcome it by your actions, your thought, your mind, your everything. You can overcome. He that overcometh will make you strong. But, okay, don't beat yourself up because you still sin. I'm going to die a sinner, just like you. But the resurrection will take care of the flesh. Flesh and bone cannot inherit the kingdom. This flesh, when I die, they're going to bury it. But when it comes back, now when I gave my heart to God 40 years ago, my mind, my soul, my mind, my soul, my spirit was saved. Does this make you see what I'm trying to say? That's our struggle. It's this. Okay, don't be so hard on yourself, please. God loves you. He remembers. The fact that you feel guilty and convicted when you sin tells me you do have His heart, mind, soul, and spirit. You do love Him. If you fall on your knees and confess and repent, confession of a sin means you acknowledge it. When you repent, repent means to change your ways. If you change your mind, if you change your habits, you can overcome this flesh, but not all of it. Not all of it. One last reading. Turn with me to Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Very simple. Very simple. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." Thank you so much for having me, loved ones, and may the God of our fathers bless each and every one of you.